All right, well, Merry Christmas. If you'll grab your Bibles and turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. While you're getting there, the message this morning is go tell it on the mountain. Are we? You know, we say to do something, we say we're going to do something, but I want to challenge us with the question is, are we? Are you there at Psalm 78 yet?
Yes, sir.
Can I get a glory hallelujah? Can I get a he's so good? Can I get another testimony? That song's dangerous. Right there, Psalm 78. Amen. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. I want to pause there just a second. Your translation, if it says dark like mine does, it doesn't mean dark like demonic. It's dark like mysterious. It hasn't been brought out in the open yet. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that are mystery until it's spoken, until it's understood. So that's what it's meaning. I know I kept reading through that dark.
Huh? You need my translation.
Yeah.
I will speak mysteries from the past.
That's where I got the translation from.
You want to read mine?
I think I'll just keep reading here. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but telling to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, and the next generation might know them, and the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that the fathers or that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. And I want us to come away this Sunday with this conviction, this commitment that we will tell this generation, this next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of God, the wondrous and mighty powerful works. This season of Christmas really is prime time evangelism. We should be telling the world about Jesus. The door is already opened when we say Merry Christmas. Right? I mean, isn't that this season, that the reason for the season, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas today in the city of David, that has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is God's salvation for all peoples. He is the light of the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. Angels announced his birth. Shepherds visited him. Wise men came to worship him. Herod tried to kill him. Joseph and Mary cherished him and raised him. And Simeon and Anna prophesied and announced him. This is that Savior, that Messiah, the one that we are remembering was brought this day. I think we should be spending the whole month telling people, our children, our grandchildren, people we meet, people that ask us, how are you doing? And when we say Merry Christmas, that he's the reason for the season, that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. We're celebrating his birthday. His birthday. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that. We get caught up in all of the season festivities, and we can kind of forget this main purpose. So my question is, as Scripture's Psalm 78 is admonishing us not to do, are we concealing Jesus by teaching only Santa Claus for the holidays? Or are we doing no spiritual teaching and letting our children decide to make up their own mind when they get older? Are we putting this next generation into an educational system that does conceal teaching on God? Are we telling children who don't belong to us about Jesus? That's what our Sunday school does, our Sunday school ministry. Does our barn, our sheep barn, or our crib speak about Jesus? Is our light shining? Is our lamp on the stand? Will people see and experience Christ when they enter our sheep barn or our crib? Will they hear of his mighty works? How the angels on that fateful night appeared to the shepherds in the field announcing that the Messiah was born. Turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2, verse 8. We read a little bit of this Christmas story. Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. Are you there?
Amen.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Imagine. Just try to imagine being there out in that field. An angel of the Lord appears. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Yet another sign. Remember last week, we read in Isaiah 7 the sign that was given to King Ahaz, that the virgin would bear a child and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And now the sign this week is finding a baby in a stable, in swaddling cloths, and lying in a manger. And my question is, are we telling this next generation about this? About this. This changed the whole world, literally. The history before it now has changed. And the future is now changed by this night, this faithful birth. Are we concealing or exposing Jesus? Are we concealing or exposing? A few more challenging questions for us to examine our hearts. Are we connecting our holiday traditions to Christ, to this baby Messiah being born? Explaining that he's the reason for the season. He's the whole reason we have Christmas time. What about gift giving? You know, that's a big tradition. Are we connecting the reason we do this with the gospel story? You know, the wise men brought him gifts. Are we going to worship at church the King of Kings to experience and see? Are we reading the Bible accounts of Jesus, his birth, and are we doing like the shepherds, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen? May we today, when we leave, have that on our heart. I think the music we had picked out this morning will inspire us. If we could just remember some of those words, some of those tunes, just glorifying God. I mean, you guys were letting your joy out big time. I love it. Are we telling this next generation of the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done? Our confidence in God. This is how God's word and deed has been preserved since Eden. In other words, it's been handed down by telling of the story until it was written down and compiled. Just think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden walking with God, and somehow that story had to be preserved. And it was preserved by each generation telling the next generation. Especially the duty falls on the fathers. So fathers, are we taking this burden to remember to tell the next generation? And you are. You're here. This church is just full on supporting the children and teaching them. So keep up the good work. This telling, this story has been happening about Christ's birth every year for 2,000 years. Think about it. That's an ancient story. Well, how are we telling the next generation, and what should we be telling them? Well, certainly there's a number of ways to do it, but one of them is taking your children to church and church activities. Have Bible teachings at home. Bible things at home. You can have videos. This church has a subscription to Right Now Media, so anybody can have a free subscription to Right Now Media, and they have an awesome kids section. They have a great adult section too, but I'm partial to the kids section. Do you have coloring books, storybooks, children's Bibles? Pictures, maybe pictures in your home on the walls. Are you listening to Christian radio at home, some of the songs, and singing along with them? Maybe Adventures in Odyssey or Superbook. They just have such great teaching that just supports what you're trying to teach your children, what we're trying to teach them. What about conversations at the dinner table and at home? Are you having those conversations? It doesn't have to be Sunday school only. If it's just part of our life, we sit down at the dinner table, we bless the food, and we have conversations about God, about his wondrous work, his power, his greatness, why we have confidence in him. It's a great time when somebody at the table or your child expresses fear or worry or concern over something, and then we can share maybe a testimony of how God's answered our prayer. Are we reading to our children? Reading from the Bible, maybe. Are we ascribing acts of God to God? In other words, are we acknowledging those acts of God when we see them? You know, it used to be, in the early times, nursery tales were far different from what they are today. And the stories that children amuse themselves were far different than what they are today. Those stories included the mighty acts of God. Think about Abraham. No doubt, when he would talk to his children about the flood and tell them about how the waters overspread the earth and about how Noah and his family were those that were saved and in the ark, and how about stories about the ancient Israelites when they dwelt in their land and then would tell them how God mightily released them and crossing the Red Sea and being protected by God from the army and the plagues that God put on Pharaoh for saying no, and how God brought that whole nation out of bondage. Even one of the amazing things to me is how the Egyptians, who were losing all their slaves, sent them along, giving them all their treasures, the gold and silver and things. Here you go, take this with you, so that they would have stuff that they needed. And in fact, a lot of that should have been used properly, but unfortunately some of it was used to make an idol while Moses was up on the mountain. But these are stories that kids need to hear. The early Christians would recount to their kids everything concerning the life of Christ and the act of the apostles. I know Adrian likes to read those frontier stories where people were crossing the country, families were crossing, women were crossing the country in wagons, and it's just mind-boggling how tough they were and how resourceful, they were believers, and they would be sharing how God has worked in their life. Are we doing that with our kids? Our kids should grow up knowing our testimony and our story. The Dutch would have those tiles. You know, you've seen them, those blue and white tiles, really pretty tiles, and they would have a picture on there, and that's how that would remind them to tell the story to their children, the Bible story. So if we will hang up pictures of the Bible stories on our walls, it gives us an automatic thing to talk to our children about. It's simple. Well, what are some of the mighty works of God? Anyone have anything? Let me help you get started. This is the interactive part. How about the natural beauty on our earth and in the heavens? You know, when you go out at night here, you know, I come out at night to check on the church or close it up or light the fire or turn it out. And I'm walking over here looking at the stars.
Running the trees.
Yeah. Bump into a few things. Yeah, God bless our wives. What about the offer of eternal life? Isn't that a mighty work of God? I mean, how can God take us when we are living in so much opposition to Him, doing things that are opposing Him, and He say, you know, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want you in my family. I want to give you something. I want to give you the best present of all, eternal life. Anyone? Does that spark any?
I thank Him every night that the moon is out. When I get out of work and come home, that the moon's out because it's nice and light. I thank Him for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think just peace. You know, I didn't really know what peace was ever my whole life until I had a relationship with God. And I couldn't stop the obsessive compulsive thoughts in my mind until I focused on God. And so when He says, focus on me, He really means it. Everything else just dissolves. And it's so powerful. And I used to have no control over my emotions. And I still don't, but God does. So I can just be like, whoa, I'm not going to get emotional about this. I'm going to pray about it. And I think with the kids, if we just sit and we pray and keep practicing prayer, and then they see the prayers coming to fruition, maybe not always as they wanted, but that how God wanted, it always works out. And so this that reminder is what I was lacking and what was causing anxiety. And so He takes that away from everything. That's great.
Yeah. Jerry?
I think the fact that humans have emotions, like Angelique's talking about, peace, but all the different forms of love and friendship and sadness and grief, and the fact that we have emotions is a miracle. It's a sure sign of God to me.
Yeah. Amen. Anyone else?
How about the book in your hands?
It's
written over hundreds of years by many different people without a single contradiction that's new every time we open it.
Yeah. We're so blessed. We just walk around and grab one and read it.
That's why the kids need to learn how to read, you know?
And speaking of that, reminds me, just this morning, on behalf of the church, I sent that one African pastor that's going out planting churches. I've shown you some pictures. We've helped some of those tin churches that we've shown pictures of. So we sent them $450 for Bibles this morning. They don't have them. Yeah, and it'll be in Swahili. Okay.
I guess I was just thinking about the omnipotence, omnipresence of God. Angelique was saying, you know, in our compartmentalized minds, we can't even imagine the fact that he's in control of every molecule, every atom, every subatomic particle, however deep you want to go, in the universe, all the time, at every moment. And that, you know, he's in control of every cell that splits in every single human being's body, and every animal on the planet. And he directs every snowflake. I mean, look out there and think about how many billions and trillions of snowflakes are just represented by what we can see out the window. And he is in control of where every single one of those falls. I mean, I can't, you know, and we worry about asking him, you know, where are my keys, or can you help me with this little thing? And he's in control of it all. Mm-hmm. At the same time, how many people are praying to him this morning across the United States, just in the churches here? Those millions of prayers, and he can hear and answer and respond to every single one of them.
Yeah. It's like Cece was saying about it. He can do more than we can imagine.
Oh yeah.
There's a book that I try to read about every year called The Universe and the Teacup. That the teacup part is a theorem that I've forgotten a lot. That just kind of, it puts the universe into, well, tries to put the universe into some kind of scale. And just reading through this book, it's just, if you're going to read a book other than the Bible, read that one. Because it's just absolutely amazing. If you're some kind of, even slightly a nerd like me, read it. And it kind of bounces off of what Mom was saying. It just, it's absolutely staggering. Because, you know, God can balance, you know, the shape and size and dimensions of every little different snowflake. And, you know, the way our hearts beat, and, you know, all this different ginormous and small stuff on Earth and in the universe at large, and just reading about the scale of all of it is mind-blowing.
Just a real quick thing. I'm playing off of what Adrian said about atoms. And we know, they taught me in school, that there are protons, neutrons, and electrons, and the protons are in the nucleus. And they're like charges, but like charges repel. You can do that with magnets. They repel. What holds that together? Scientists call it the strong force. What is the strong force? Well, it's what holds atoms together. Colossians 1:17 or 18 says, by him all things were made, and by him all things are held together.
Yep.
My God is the strong force.
Amen.
My cousin.
Mike.
The one thing that's really glorious to me is God has a plan. And his plan was put in the Bible before Christ was ever born. And he has an ending for everything, and a glory for everything, if you just believe.
Amen. Well, I have a few more. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. Just finish up with a few scriptures here. Isaiah 40, beginning with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Turn to the next book to the right, Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, beginning with verse 11. Thus you shall say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding, stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he makes the mists rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings forth the wind from the storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion, and at the time of their punishment they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. All right, I'll give you one more. Turn to Romans 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 8, 1 through 4. Are you there?
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has not done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Mm-hmm. These scriptures, while they're not directly about the Christmas story, are the Christmas story. This is what Christ came to do for us, what he offers us, and something that we could not do on our own. Jesus said, with people, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Wow. So, do we have confidence in God? You know, how do we gain confidence in God? You know, it's by shared testimonies. It's by reading this word and believing. It's by singing and praising. It's about acknowledging God. It's about looking around. All these things that we've been talking about as a group this morning. He is reliable. He's omnipotent. Our abilities have failed us. Others' abilities have failed us. Other so-called gods have not given us confidence in them. But he is always faithful and true and on time. So, let us go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born.
Hallelujah.
Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a reminder, Friday at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, carols, and all that great stuff. It only lasts about an hour, so try to make some time to come on out. It's a wonderful time.
What time?
6 o'clock Friday in the evening, 6 p.m. All right, well, praise God. Let's gather around and pray for one another.